Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Go to Lamentations. The third chapter. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel all deal with the fall. Israel is the northern 10 tribes. Israel has already been taken into captivity years earlier. Now Nebuchadnezzar is coming in against Jerusalem, and Judah is about to fall. We sang the days of Elijah and the Valley of Dry Bones. That is in particular about the nation of Israel. And that's in Ezekiel. And they've gone into captivity, and they've, Jeremiah in Lamentations has witnessed the fall of Jerusalem, and he's lamenting it. It's an incredible song of sorrow, seeing Judah and specifically Jerusalem fall. And in Ezekiel, the prophet says there's coming a day where this valley of dry bones, which is Israel destroyed, he says there's going to be sinew and muscle and epidermis back on it, and they're going to click together, and it's going to be a nation again. And 1948, that happened. And it's continuing to grow and strengthen, not without opposition. There's huge opposition. And Gord, you talked about in your sharing and in your prayer, it's one thing to look back, but don't look back with bitterness. Don't look back with sorrow. Look back and see the goodness of God. And so here we are. We're in Lamentations, the third chapter. And Jeremiah is not identified as a priest. He's the son of a priest. Ezekiel's a priest. Ezekiel gets carried away to Babylon. Ezekiel, Jeremiah sees the fall of Jerusalem, and then the indication in Scripture is that he went with a group that went into Egypt, and in all likelihood, Jeremiah died in Egypt. So he's lamenting, and if you read through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and especially Ezekiel, Ezekiel is very blunt as a priest as to the idolatry and the evil that characterized Judah. He, in fact, says, you've done worse than Israel did, the northern 10 tribes. And I didn't take time to look at what the King James word is, but the ESV, that idolatry is repeatedly almost the point that in your soul you feel almost offended at the use of the word. He refers to it as Israel's whoring. They had left the love of God and they've adopted others. And the despicable nature of that to the heart of God is really hard for us to comprehend. So here we are in the third chapter of Lamentations, lamenting the fall of Jerusalem. Verse 1, I am the man who has seen affliction. Now, he's not talking specifically about himself. He's talking about the nation of Judah. He says, I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. Well, thanks, Pastor. That's a great way to start the new year. Well, let's keep reading. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. The idea there in the original language is literally to be worn away. Have you ever had a rug burn or I skidded a motorcycle one time and had road rash. It's very uncomfortable. And that's how he's describing it. It's been a wearing away. It's been a stripping away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walked me about so that I cannot escape. Have you ever felt like that? You're in a situation, there's just no way out. You know? You don't see it. He's made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. The reason it's being shut out is because they've abandoned God. They've gone after others. He says, if you don't deal with the iniquity in your heart, he says, if I don't deal with sin, David said, if I don't deal with sin in my life, it's not a matter that God can't hear me, he won't hear me. There's a difference. And I've had times where I've seen prayers not answered, and I've wondered, is it me? That he won't hear me because, you know, and that's a good thing, to search your own soul and say, here's something I need to deal with. I need to put this away. Verse 8, though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. There's hurdles, there's obstacles, and there's no direct route. Everything is just messed up. Anybody here feel like they've had situations like that in their life? I have. Thank you, sister. You ever felt like this? Verse 10, he's a bear lying in wait for me. A lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set as a target for his arrow. Verse 13 is interesting. In the Hebrew language, it's only four words. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. One of the meanings of the word kidneys is reins, that which controls my life. He's penetrated right into the things that I feel control my life, my decisions and where I'm at. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. And that, I don't know how it reads in your translation. I use the ESV. In verse 15, he has filled me with bitterness. In the original language, that's actually a plural. He has filled me with not just bitterness, but with bitternesses, multiple. He has made my teeth grind on gravel. He made me cower in ashes. Literally to hide in the ashes. You know, to take that ash upon me so that I'm not recognizable. You know, the enemy can't find me because I'm not well hidden. And what a low, dirty place to be in. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Now, this is a silly statement because they haven't been hoping in the Lord. But when we get in trouble and we haven't been walking with the Lord, we argue with God and we say, why are you doing this to me? And the reality is we've done it to ourselves. Wayne and a couple of us were talking last night. We were talking about, you know, sometimes people just do foolish things. And I showed him a thing I had saved on my phone. You know, it says, sometimes you wonder why things are going as bad as they are. It's because you're stupid and you're making bad decisions. You know, that's what they did. They're not being randomly picked on by God. They abandoned God. They turned their back on God. God isn't hearing them. The enemy is coming against them, and there's no hope. And they're still not seeking God and loving God, but they're blaming God. Why are you not coming through? Yeah. Verse 19, remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. And when Gord was sharing and praying, he says, don't remember the bad. I immediately went to this portion of scripture because I've been working on it for probably 2 weeks. It's so easy to recall the bad days. It's so easy to dwell there. It's so easy to say, you know, come on, let's be honest, folks. The last couple of years haven't been the best. No, really, they haven't. You know, we got back from Florida into January 2020, and then it went downhill, hit the skids. You know, we're coming in here, we're getting ready to do the devotional, and there's four of us. Myself, Eleanor, Tim, and Jordy. And the rest we're doing on Zoom. And it was a gut-wrenching feeling. Hello? How many enjoyed, really, be honest, how many enjoyed the last 2 years? It was just, you know, scads of fun. Andre. Yeah, he found it easy because he just stands out in the field and counts sheep and goes to sleep. And but it hasn't been easy. And here we are in a new year. And if this is where this ended, what a tragic note this would be. But verse 21 gives us a short turn and gives us an insight into what Jeremiah is really thinking and feeling in the midst of all of this chaos, in the midst of the destruction, in the midst of the fall of Jerusalem, in the midst of literally thousands being put to death and thousands being carried off to Babylon. Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and I forget the you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why is it we can remember the Gentile names? We can't remember the Hebrew names. You know, they're carried off into captivity into Babylon to serve in Nebuchadnezzar's court. He's witnessing all this. And in verse 21, he gives this turn. He gives this, and this is the hope that I want to give this New Year's Day. Verse 21, but this I call to mind. And it's what Gord said in his sharing and in his prayer earlier. Don't look at the bad things that happened. Look back at the good. But this I call to mind. And therefore, I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. Listen, that is not a biblical statement. This is a personal statement of Jeremiah. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. What are you saying today? What is your portion? Is it biblical in the sense that God desires that for all of us? But he's not declaring this. This is Jeremiah confessing this. And this is huge. If I'm going to see 2023 be what God wants it to be, I better make the decision to make him my portion. Amen? Does he desire that? Absolutely. But he will not compel me to do that. I have to make that as a decision. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. And he continues in quotes, therefore, I will hope in him. I have expectations for 2023. You want to know why? Because the Lord's my portion. I don't know where it's going to go. I know that for one in our family, the year ended on a really bad note. But they need to make the Lord their portion. Gord, you pray. You said God can take the bad things of our life and turn it good. That's his hope. And he's lamenting what's happening in Jerusalem. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. That's a promise. To the soul who seeks him. John, are you seeking him? Not that John, me. Just unfortunate, our names are the same. When I say John in my message, I'm not referring to you, okay? I'm picking at me. He's picking at me. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And again, I think our brother made mention in his sharing and in his prayer, we can't speak bitternesses. Okay? I thought if he keeps going, he's going to steal the whole devotional. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Now let's look at this. Number one, we've already dealt with that. Okay, there has to be the personal decision, but this I call to mind. Therefore, I have hope. I need to go back in my thinking and the times that God got me through, when there seemed to be no way, God made a way. The idea of the Hebrew word call includes the thoughts of to restore, to refresh, to repair, to bring back. But this I call to mind. I need to do this. I need to do it in a way that I restore and I refresh my thinking. I repair. I get rid of the bitternesses and I bring it back. As we read the context, we discover some very dismal observations and thoughts. You know. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. You know, look at those verses. His situation isn't happy. But he makes a decision in verse 21 that he's going to do something about it next. But the author has made a decision to call to mind the word of God. And that's exactly what that brother shared. But, you know, you've got to call to mind the word of God. Don't dwell on the situation. Get into the word of God. Next. This results in a personal sense of hope. The Hebrew word means to wait, by implication, to be patient. Hope. Cause to hope. You know, and you get the same ideas in the New Testament. I don't have this in your notes, you know, but it's there. You go to 1 Corinthians 13, and I think the last verse is verse 13 as well. Now abide these three. What? Faith, hope, love. The old King James, charity. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and I think verse 6 as well. This is what's happening. God gives you a word, you receive it in faith. Then God gives you the divine quality of hope that causes the faith to continue until it becomes a reality in your life. How many know that when you go to glory, you're going to see Jesus? Okay. You receive that in faith. Hope causes you to hang on to that. That's why the return of the Lord is referred to as the blessed hope. And what guarantees those two? The faithfulness and the love of God. The Bible's interwoven. These aren't random things thrown together. There's concepts that flow from Genesis through to Revelation. He says, I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I'm not expecting 2023 to be any different. If this book is true, I have news for you, it is. Jesus said that before he comes, you go to Matthew 24, he says, there'll be wars and rumors of war, pestilence, famines, earthquakes, and he goes on and he says, these things must happen before the return. He's coming again, but I'm not abandoned. My God is walking with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. This I call to mind over and over and over again, because it's really easy for me to get depressed. You know, get a phone call. All right, Dad. Yeah, had an accident with the car yesterday. And I have to call to mind. Hello? God's going to do something. Don't ask going to him, but God's going to do something. You know? Now I have to have a conviction. Okay? I've made a decision, but my decision is not random. It's based on a conviction. My personal conviction or belief. This conviction is the result of I call to mind. Okay? Verse 22, the King James Version, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. I'm not going to get into the Hebrew word. I'm just referencing it for you. NIV, because of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions, same word, fail not. The ESV, the steadfast, and I like this. This one just flows better in my thinking. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, same word. The other two translations translated compassion. The ESV translated mercies. His mercies never come to an end. Well, listen, is mercy and compassion the same thing? There's no compassion if there's no mercy. And where there's mercy, there'll be evidence in compassion. Okay? And James warns, he says, you be careful that you don't have somebody coming into your fellowship and they need something and you've got the means to help them. You say, God be with you and be blessed, and you got the means to help them, you don't. He says, your religion's dead. Where there's real mercy, there's a flow out that we call compassion. But in my reading and my thinking, the ESV just it does something to me. But this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. You can almost sing that. You know, there's something melodic about it. It just penetrates deep into my soul. And this happens even when we're disciplined. And we won't take time this morning, but we've talked about Hebrews 12:1-14, and he says, listen, he who the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he says, no discipline at the time seems comforting and joyous. You know? I don't know if you've ever noticed, periodically I have a bit of a smart mouth, you know? My dad said to me one time, you know, I'd done something wrong, he was going to spank me. He says, this is going to hurt me more than you. I said, well, why don't you let me spank you, and then it'll really hurt me. That didn't wash. It gave me a bit of a reprieve because he stood there laughing for a few minutes. You know, that ain't going to hurt you. The reason you're using the belt is going to hurt me. You don't want to use your hand because you don't want to hurt you. You know? God's discipline is for a reason. He doesn't go, okay, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I'm going to pick on you today. Eeny, meeny, miny, it's your turn. You know, God looks at me and he deals with me. He wants to bring me to the place that I stand before him and say, you know, Dad, I really messed this up bad. And I'm not sorry because I got caught. I'm really repentant because there's a difference. And would you assist me in getting victory over this? And you know what he does? He flows in mercy because of his love. And then he capacitates us through grace, the capacity to do. And that's, so even when I'm being disciplined, you know, and he says, don't you understand? He says, you have earthly fathers who discipline you for your good. How much more the heavenly father? And he says, if you're not disciplined, you're illegitimate. You're not, you know, if I meet a Christian who says they've never been disciplined, then I really question where they're at. Because if you say you sin not, the truth is not in you, you're lying. We're all blowing it at some point. You know, it's just the reality of life, and that's how we grow, and that's how we develop. Okay. An interesting note on the word mercies in the Hebrew: one of the primary meanings of it is the word womb. The womb's supposed to be a safe place. It's a place of nurture and growth and development. And I look at some that want to do this abort, and just that's not what God does. He nurtures you. He cares for you because he's birthing something out in you. It is such a powerful concept, and it's hugely significant. Next. Okay, so I've got my decision. I've got conviction. Here's why I'm doing this. Now, here's my confidence. Verse 23, but this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Here's my declaration to you for 2023. As you walk with God, you will experience and discover that his mercies are new every morning. Did Jerusalem still fall? Yeah. Did Jeremiah still get taken captive to Egypt? Yeah. Did he die there? In all probability. He never saw Jerusalem again. Ezekiel was carried off into captivity to Babylon. Daniel and his three friends carried off. But listen, you look, I'm reading through Daniel right now. Daniel walked with God even in captivity. And he discovered the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Nebuchadnezzar erected this great statue and wanted the nation to bow before them. And some of the magicians of Babylon were upset because of Daniel and his three friends. I don't like using the phrase Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I have trouble remembering the Hebrew names. Do you? Yeah, thank you. You know, I like the Hebrew names. This is a red herring, but it's profitable. Daniel, you know what his name means? God is my judge. And he's in Babylon. He's going to judge them. Hananiah, God has favored. Mishael. I like this name, Mishael. His name means, who is what God is? Who here is what God is? God is God. He'll do it. Yeah? Azariah, Jehovah has helped. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah refused to bow, and they got thrown into the fiery furnace. It was heated up 7 times higher than normal. The guys that threw him in were consumed by the flames. They died. And Nebuchadnezzar's at his wit's end. He's looking in and says, did we not throw 3 into the furnace and bound? He says, yet I see 4 walking around and free. And one is like unto the Son of Man, which is one of the terms Jesus used for himself. And then they bring them out of the furnace. Their hair wasn't singed. Their clothing didn't smell of fire. And get this, when you go through the fiery furnace, when you go as those three Hebrew children did, you know what was destroyed? The cords that bound them. When we go through trial and tribulation, it's not to destroy us, it's to get rid of the things that bind us and restrict us. It reminds me of the chorus, and we're going to close with it in a little bit here. Faithful one, so unchanging. Ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. So we have our decision that we need to make. It's got to be based on conviction, not just on a whim. And the conviction comes as you get more into the Word of God and you go, my goodness, this stuff is true. This happened, this happened. My goodness, I can trust the Word of God. It is an unfailing Word. And what hasn't been fulfilled, he's promised he's going to do it because he's already done these things. I can trust him. And that builds us with confidence. Great is thy faithfulness. They're new every morning. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. Amen? We need to have that confidence. And then there's that confession that wells up in our soul. This isn't something that the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit records it. But Jeremiah, this is the cry of Jeremiah's soul. Is it the cry of your soul? John, is it the, this John, is it the cry of my soul? The Lord is my portion, says my soul. This kind of reminds me of David in a couple of the Psalms. He says, why art thou downcast, O my soul? Yet I will rejoice in him. You know? Where's my confidence? What's the expression? And what is my portion? My portion is the Lord. You know? Therefore I will hope in him. The concept behind the word portion is you know, just that, a portion, a share, a part, or a territory. Okay? Now, don't go all the way to Revelation. Stop a couple, three books before it. And go to 1 and 2 Peter. 2 Peter is easiest to find because it's right after 1 Peter. 1 Peter is not too hard to find. It's right before 2 Peter. Okay. 1 Peter 1, verses 1 to 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. His mercies are new every morning. They never come to an end. That he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. You see these concepts run continuously through the scripture. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You got stuff reserved for you in glory. It's your portion. The Lord is my portion. And with him comes blessings that he wants to give, many of which we will not fully realize until we stand before him. Verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. So that the testing, the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to have result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him because he's your portion. He's your love. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and full of joy. Oh, I can't stand some of these Christians. They get so excited and they wave their hands. They do this thing. Listen, they're in love. Yeah? I don't know about some of you folks who have been married for a little while. Do you ever long for the old days? What do you mean, no? Whoa. Yeah? Yeah, you know, there's times I miss the bench seat. You know? Right. Well, we let the romance in our marriages kind of flatten out. And I hate to say this, we often do that in our Christian life. We let the romance flatten out. And it's supposed to be joy inexpressible and full of glory. You know? Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Go to 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, those who obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. Well, what's that equal standing? It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Whatever's coming in 2023, God's given me through the Holy Spirit and through His Word, promises that pertain to life and godliness. I must call these to mind, and therefore I have hope. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and great promises. So this is your portion right now. Listen, you don't need this in heaven. When you're in heaven, you will see Him as He is, and you'll be like Him. This is for right now. By which He has granted us His precious and great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Now, and having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is your portion right now. And he says, enter into it. Move into it. Okay, next. My personal discipline. Verses 25 and 26. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. You remember a little while back, we were looking at the word wait. And how that tow rope you used when we got Aiden out of the ditch. It was that little yellow thing. I mean, it was the scrawniest little, bigger than a thread. But I mean, some people were looking at, you know, and one says, oh, I got straps here. You're going, no, the rope will do it. Remember?
Yeah.
You know? And some doubted it. You know? We won't mention Tim's name because we don't embarrass him. But the scripture says a three-strand rope is hard to break. And the idea of the word wait is to be twisted together with the Lord. As you wait upon Him, there's a twisting. There's a fusing of your soul and your desire with Him and with the Holy Spirit. And that three-strand rope is very hard to break. Who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It's good that one should wait patiently for the Lord. And again, that whole idea, it's not an idleness. It's allowing God to bring His Word into your life and to fuse it. And there's a binding and a blending and a uniting, you know. Yeah, you talked about community. The root of that word is a common unity. What is our common unity here? It is the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? Yeah, that supersedes everything. Okay? To wait, to allow myself to be twisted together with Jesus, who is the living Word. Amen? To seek, to tread, or to follow. I got home the other night and I think, some stupid kids have been going through my yard. They got tracks in the yard right up to my step. I go in the house and my wife says, I'm trying out my snowshoes. You know, I could see where she was treading. And I couldn't follow her because I don't have snowshoes. You know, Jesus, do you know where Jesus is walking? And are you walking with Him? The Lord is our portion. If He's my portion, I want to be with Him. Amen? My personal calling. It's good for a man that he bear the yoke when he is in his youth. In chapter 11 of Matthew, all you that are weak and heavy laden, come on to me and I will... Okay, give. That's an important word. He gives it. Okay? But how does the next verse go? Come on to me, all you that are weak and heavy, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke of you, and you will find rest. One is a gift. One, I have to go and receive. I'll find it. I'll get it. And listen, I accepted the Lord in my late 20s. And I look back sometimes with remorse at the number of years I wasted. It's good that you receive the yoke of the Lord at an early age. Because God wants to walk with you the whole way. He is your portion. I don't know what might befall any one of us in 2023. But I will call to mind, and therefore I have hope.